So let's get started with taking a look at the demographics and general information part of the thorough history. So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols. It's just, you know, same old, kind of boring information, but stuff you have to collect, like name, address, and phone number, height and weight, although height and weight aren't really boring because it's a really integral part of what you're doing as a nutrition coach. You want to know their age, sometimes ask the place of birth, the date of birth for sure, and then their marital status and family situation. Brothers and sisters and children and spouses and family, mom and dad, are they all living in the same household? Are they living separately? Do they have their own household or are they living in somebody else's? Those are important questions to ask because it has a lot to do with the kinds of compliance you can get as you give them the changes, the lifestyle and diet changes that you want them to do. Then you want to look at their occupation. It just gives us a general idea, and we get some thoughts onto whether there are occupational hazards and exposures at their job, stresses, etc. Want to look at their level of education and how much they travel. Do they travel to foreign countries? Do they travel a lot for business? Do they travel a lot for pleasure? And it gives you an idea of the kind of stress they're under and also how well they're going to be able to comply with some of the diet and lifestyle changes that they'll be making as a result of working with you. And finally, we look at pets. Pets are important to know about because if somebody's suffering from weird gastrointestinal problems, you don't ask about pets, you may be missing something where they're getting transmission of various kinds of parasites and other organisms from their pets. Same thing with travel. If you miss that they travel a lot to a foreign country, then you may not be getting information that could lead you to suspect a parasitic infection or some sort of a weird microbial infection that's occurred. So let's actually take a look at the forms. As I said before, I'm giving you as much as I possibly can for each of the types of areas of the thorough history. I want to give you an online form when I have one, a Word file so that you can actually go in and make changes. You can merge forms. You can do whatever you need to. Put your footer on it, your phone number so people can contact you, and also a PDF file. So if you just want to have a ready to go, it's done for you, just take it, print it out, and hand it to people, you can do that as well. Or you could upload it to a web page so people can download it, print it, and fill it out. That's that. So let's take a look. We've got three different forms for the demographics and general information. The first one is my online assessment, and it's a little bit more than just demographics. It's something that I use a lot on the first consultation with somebody if I'm doing something I call a discovery consultation, where I'm just going to explore some things that are going on for them and give them a couple of starting points, and then if we're going to work together, then I get into more depth. So that's what's in this. It's got the demographics and then some. It's kind of a robust set of demographics plus, and then the Word doc and the PDF doc are pretty much demographics. So let's take a look at them. Okay, so we've got, I call it the general health questionnaire. I give them a little intro, and it's basically asking to put their email, their address, all the different phone numbers, age, date of birth, height, weight, marital status. And these are done with drop-downs, so they just have to choose the one that's for them, their partner's name, how many kids they have, what's their kid situation, because that makes a difference, too. If they're at home with seven or eight kids or three or four kids versus their kids are grown up, that's going to make a difference in terms of the level of stress on them and how much obligation they have to make meals for everyone else. And then I have some general questions like, tell me what you're seeking help with, what are your health concerns, your top ones, what interventions you've done. Very general questions, very open-ended to allow them to give me as much information as possible. Priorities. I like to ask about priorities, and we'll get more into this when we go into the goal setting, but priorities are really important because if we get them to really hone in on what their priorities are, then you can kind of feed that information back. So when they say, well, my top three priorities are health and freedom and being active, and they're complaining about having to change their diet or go gluten-free or incorporate green smoothies, and you can turn back and say, okay, you're telling me that this is a priority for you, right? Your health is important to you. Now, what you're telling me also is that when you go out with your friends, you think it's okay to eat pizza, even though it causes a flare-up of your symptoms. So what's going on here? So you really need to be able to call people on their stuff and help them to make the distinction. So I always ask about their priorities so that can help me to help them. And then I ask them, what habits do you currently have that positively affect your health and that negatively affect your health? And it's always interesting to see what people answer here. Now, some people are right on, they're living in the real world, and they give me the positive things that are really positive, and they're really aware of the negative habits that they have. And some people, what they think are positive habits are what we, as the nutrition and health coaches, would think are not so healthy. So it's really interesting, and it gets their perspective on what their real world looks like. Rate their stress level, and then again, they get to choose from 1 to 10. What are the major stressors? A general little blurb on what medications and over-the-counter stuff and supplements that they take, what surgeries and hospitalizations. Again, this is a real brief, and usually when you ask just brief like this, it just gives me an overview. And when I'm doing a more thorough history, if I know that I'm going to be working with this person on an ongoing basis, then I get into a lot more detail, and you'll see that in some of the other forms. But this is a really good general screening kind of tool and something that you can use and in an introductory consultation if you're not sure and they're not sure if they want to invest the time to work together. The three worst foods, the three best foods that you eat, those are always really great surprising answers. I'll see people put down whole wheat bread and cheese and low-fat milk as the best foods they eat in a week, and that's where they're at. And others that their worst foods actually are better than most people's healthy foods. Somebody might say, well, my worst foods are steamed broccoli and olive oil on my salad and handfuls of nuts. Right? That may be the worst things they do in a week. So it varies, it goes all over the map, and it really gives you a general idea of where they're at. And then I give some general dietary things. I have a very detailed questionnaire I'll share with you on the very specifics of their diet, but this gives me just general information. How many alcoholic beverages, how many caffeinated beverages, how many times do you eat out? And how many times do you eat raw nuts and seeds? How many times do you work out a week? So we just do that. And these are all really easy to answer because they're drop downs. You just have to pick it. And then you don't get answers that are all over the map. I ask them a little bit about what exercise they do. Do they smoke? Do they drink? Are they spending time outdoors? Do they use sunscreen? And this is kind of a trick question almost, because when people say, they think you want them to say yes. And quite frankly, I'm looking to see if they are at risk for a vitamin D deficiency because they're out in the sun, but they're always using sunscreen. So it just gives me some just really general stuff. It only takes a person maybe 20 minutes to half an hour to fill this out. I can go through it really quickly, and it's a really great initial screen. Toxic exposures. And then what's the one thing you'd most like to accomplish during our first session together? And it's really nice when you ask that, if it's a realistic request, that you work with that. And a lot of times they're not realistic. A lot of times they're very unrealistic, like, you know, I want my Hashimoto's to go away. Well, sorry, that doesn't happen on one session. So let's take a look at the paper and pen kind of quizzes that we have. We've got the Word doc and the PDF. They're both the same, so I'll just open one. So here's our general information page. And again, it's just a different way of doing it. It's asking similar questions, not quite as detailed as my online form, but this is something that you can give somebody and just get the basics. And basically, you know, this one asks right-handed, left-handed, and that's something I could incorporate into my online form. How they heard about you, what other family members, some things on their background, the marital status, the children. So pretty clear kind of stuff. Things about travel. Do they have farm animals? Have they traveled outside the country? Any major life changes? Experienced any losses? Lost time from work or school. So you may find that you like some of the questions in one and then the other, and that you're going to combine some of them. Forms have been something that have been ever-evolving for me. As I speak and learn more, go to different seminars, and I may start to incorporate different questions. As I work with people and find, wow, the phrasing of that didn't work real well, let me rephrase it. My forms have undergone lots and lots of change over the years. So I'm giving you, at a point in time, forms that I use. And I don't use the paper and pen ones as much anymore. I mainly use the ones that are online. It's rare that I'll get somebody that says, well, I don't use the internet, because I really attract people who are online and who are really interested in learning online and not necessarily coming to an office. So that's that. And then there's also a PDF version of that. So we'll close that. So now let's take a quick look at the health goals portion of this. As you saw when I showed you my online form, some of that is incorporated there, but I also do have another online form for goals. And I also have a paper and pen form as well that you can use. So you're welcome to use those. So let's take a look at what's included there, and then I'll show you the actual form. First, we want to look at what are they looking for? Are they looking for symptom suppression? Are they looking for preventative health? Are they seeking optimal health and functioning? And depending on where they're coming from will determine how you're going to approach them and how you're going to influence them to make changes. I always like to offer them the opportunity to share with me their five-year vision. And when I ask them about their five-year vision, it's usually when I'm speaking with them, not necessarily on a form, although I do have a little visions exercise that I give people oftentimes. It's a very long and detailed, so usually we do it as part of a program. But the five-year vision is really cool. It's like if I could wave my magic wand and all of your health challenges are gone and your energy is just through the roof, what does your life look like? People love to get into that, and you'll be surprised at what comes out of their mouths, and they're sometimes surprised. When you get them really excited about that vision, they are going to be much more motivated and inspired to follow through on the protocols and recommendations that you're going to make. So once I've got them doing a five-year vision, I say, okay, so in order to be where you really want to be in 5 years, where do you think you ought to be in a year? Now, if this is a person who has 200 pounds to let go of and they want to be slim and trim in 5 years, we know they're not going to drop those 200 pounds in that first year. But what's a reasonable weight to be at? What's a reasonable level of health to be at? What's a reasonable fitness level? And I don't mean reasonable in that in terms of squashing their visions, but I mean, what is attainable? It's got to be attainable, and you want it to be bold, and you want it to be a stretch. I really prefer that someone who has 200 pounds to drop doesn't tell me that they want to lose 10 pounds in a year. I mean, that'd be kind of really slow. I mean, it's going to take them 20 years to get rid of that extra weight. So I want them to be attainable, but I also want them to be bold enough that it's a challenge for them to look through, and I want to get them excited about it. And then I always like to hone it down to a 90-day goal. and from that 90-day goal. That 90-day goal may be very specific, small part of the big vision, and then I like them to break it down there, and then we can break it down into actionable steps, and that's part of the coaching I do. That's not part of the assessment, but I do this as part of the assessment because I really want to get them in touch with what's really going on with their body, with their mind, with their emotions, with all the things that are going to influence their ability to make decisions. And finally, we may break it down to a one-month goal. Okay, so you've got this goal. Where do you want to be at the end of the month? And I think it's really important to keep people focused on the goals. And we have a health goals and vision form. So why don't we take a look at that? So our health goals and vision, it's right underneath the demographics and general information files on the website. The health goals and visions, we have an online assessment, a Word version, and a PDF. In order to take the leap and make major diet and lifestyle changes, it's important to create a big enough why. When you can create a big enough why for people, the how just follows. And after all, that's what you're going to be teaching them. You can teach them the how, but they have to have that why so that they're motivated and inspired to follow through. So I really feel like getting in touch with their values, visions, and goals and staying connected is a first step towards creating that vibrant health and the boundless energy that most people really want. They may say they want to get rid of their headaches, but really, if they had a choice between just getting rid of their headaches and having this amazing energy and phenomenal body and feeling great all the time, they'd probably choose the latter. So let's take a quick look at the online assessment and then the Word version. Goals, visions, and values form. And this is an abbreviated version of a very long form. Actually, I have three forms, one for values, one for visions, one for goals. And like I said, that's not usually done as part of an assessment. That's usually done as part of a program, a coaching package, and me guiding them through fleshing out their image, their values and their visions and their goals. So on this form, I asked, well, make a list of the top five things you value the most in your life. And I just asked them to write a sentence or two. And this is so great. Some people get really into that, and they really tune into why it's important. Why do they want to be healthy? And they'll realize things about why they want to be healthy, or why they want to have money, or why they want to have an education. And they realize sometimes they think that their top values are certain values, and then when they really dig, they realize it's the reason that they value one thing is because it gives them another. So we make a distinction between means goals and ends goals, and means values and ends values. So I asked them to do that with the five values. And what do they value most and what's important? In the longer exercise, I have them go through a list, a sheet that has about 100 words on it, and hone down the words and compare and contrast, and it's a great exercise, but not something you'd do on an initial assessment necessarily. Okay, and then creating your vision of the you you would like to be 5 years. So here's that five-year plan. And I just ask them to envision, and I guess ask them to imagine themselves and then write. And these boxes will expand to as much as big as they need to have it expand. So it's really very flexible. And then choosing their bold goal, their 90-day bold goal. What's one goal they'd like to celebrate completing 90 days from now? I like them to make it specific, measurable, bold, and realistic. Not unrealistic, not like losing 100 pounds in 90 days. They set themselves up for failure, right? So that's the online form. And let's take a look at the Word version of the form. It's a very brief form, lots of open space for them to write, very similar to what we had before. Make a list of their top five values, what's important, create the vision, give them the space to do that, choose their bold goal. Then I added a few extra questions to this paper one. List the five things that you have been unable to do as a result of your present symptoms. Be specific. Sometimes I only do this if I use the paper form, and that's really rare. Usually these are questions that I would be asking them. So what's this keeping you from doing? What is this constant headache preventing you from enjoying in your life? What kinds of things would you do with your life once those things are fixed? really just great questions if you want to get good compliance from people and good follow through and for them to get the very best results. And then I ask them if there's anything else goal-wise that they would like to achieve and give them a place to do that. So in our next video, we're going to look through the history of their chief complaint, collecting information about what are they really here for? What do they want you to quote-unquote fix? And we know we don't fix anybody, but that's what they think they're there for, is to get particular things taken care of.